A smart sports bettor knows where to find the best odds before placing a bet. And that's why smart bettors use PropSwap, America's marketplace, to buy and sell sportsbook tickets. PropSwap customers always find the best odds because you're buying directly from other bettors like yourself. See a ticket you like but think the price is too high? Submit a bid for a price you think is fair and then buy it. Become a smarter sports bettor today. Go to PropSwap.com right now. PropSwap, where America buys and sells sportsbook tickets.
B-Pod Studios.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mabb.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B. Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mabb.
Q-U-I-T quit.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, hour two, Felger and Mabb, presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub and the simulcast where we beam across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Tuesdays during the football season are Big Boy Tuesdays. Greg Bedard of the Boston Sports Journal. We shipped him back an hour when the Red Sox are winning championships, so we'll have Greg in studio here until 5 o'clock. But we'll continue with your Red Sox calls. Greg, by the way, is brought to you by the Granite Group. The Granite Group is an award-winning distributor of Mitsubishi Electric's heating and air conditioning systems with locations across Massachusetts and New England. Learn more at customizedcomfort.com. Greg, your response to Chris Casper.
Zero.
I'm joking.
None.
I'm joking. How do you feel about your football team right now?
Not good. Not very good at all, Mr. Felger. I think the offense is making incremental progress. I think they're getting there. The defense is a freaking disaster. Bill has to take it over. It's over. They've run out of time. You know, no more Junior, no more Mayo. He has to take it over. This is now...
Junior being Steve Belichick, for those of you not following along. Go ahead, please.
This is now three games in a row, I think, if I'm not mistaken, where the offense has taken the lead multiple times, and you've failed to win games. And this weekend, Sunday night, was... the worst by the bunch. The 3rd and 25 play call.
Mm.
I saw it. Somebody posted on Twitter. Phil Perry retweeted it. Yeah, so I got to see the coach's film early on that play. And even I looked at it at first and I was like, I don't even know what covers they're in. So I sent it out to a bunch of NFL people to be like, hey, can you help me out? What are they trying to do here? What's going on? And a lot of NFL people were like, I don't know. You got me. And then I did get a definitive answer. It was cover one robber.
What does that mean, Greg?
So what it means is one single high safety. Everybody else.
That was McCourty on that.
McCourty's a deep safety, which he played the play fine. He had to respect the vertical routes. It means that Adrian Phillips is the robber, which normally you're free to sort of double team whoever you want. Selectively, they'll do it, you know, on a tight end on third down or whoever the quarterback likes to. Basically, you try to, it's a sneak attack to double the guy. That's normally how it works. And it's normally in like third and medium.
Yeah, you jump across or something like that.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Come out of nowhere. On this play, Adrian Phillips, by the Patriots rule, according to what I've been told, he automatically has to take the crosser from the weak side. So that's the, I think it was Cedric, Amari Cooper against J.C. Jackson. It was J.C. Jackson's side. He automatically comes on a cross. Adrian Phillips has to go down. In theory, J.C. Jackson is now supposed to float to the middle of the field. He should have been undercutting the C.D. Lamb route.
And he didn't.
And he didn't, and still.
Can I just stop you? Folks, do you hear all this? And I don't mean to minimize
it.
Single high robber, jump this guy. This guy comes here. It was 3rd and 25. It was 3rd and 25. As I wrote in our email to you, Greg, what happened to GTFB?
Mm-hmm.
What happened to, it's 3rd and 25, line up four guys across the stakes, make them throw underneath, and then make the tackle.
Precisely. That's like, what it should have been.
So this, again, go what Boston Sports Journal, he's got the video up. I looked at it myself this morning, and it's right. Single high safety. Here comes the robber. The robber jumps down on Amari Cooper. Now J.C. Jackson has to recognize it. Come fill the middle of the field. My big beef was they had Hightower and Van Noy on the field
mm-hmm.
at the same time, and neither rushed the passer. So what were they doing? What, Dante Hightower, there was a guy in the wing. Was it Pollard?
Yes.
I'm not sure if it was Pollard. I thought it was Pollard, but if it wasn't, it was someone else. They had someone in the slot or a wing position, if you will. Okay? And Hightower started off by giving him a chuck and then sort of floated out into the flat, and then Van Noy picked him up and sort of trailed him a little bit. It was third and 25. Third and 25. Give the flare to the running back if you want and make the tackle. Give the underneath to Amari Cooper if you want at 7 yards and go make the tackle. What was this coverage? What was this coverage? And what happened to Bill Belichick's GTFB? It's third and 25. Line up four defensive backs at the stakes. And you know what? Even 5 yards in front of the stakes.
They should have had two layers of defensive backs / linebackers, whatever. One at the stakes, one about 5 yards in front, and rush three and say, go ahead.
Throw it 7 yards down the field. We'll make the tackle. Now you are facing a 59-yard field goal or fourth and 12.
Yep.
It's the easiest thing in the world. Like, when I watch in real time, I saw Van Noy running around out there. I'm like, why is he? What do you care about the little dump off to the running back there? Why are you covering that guy? Get back. Get back at the stakes and make a tackle. Like, what kind of play call was that? Sorry, but like when I watched your thing this morning, I was like, this is, I watch the Packers do this kind of crap all the time. All the time, my whole life. Like, they still don't get it. But it's like, that's the easiest and thing that Bill would, you know, in his sleep defend. Get the F back. Make him throw it in front of you. Make a tackle. Now they're fourth and 10 or a 57-yard field goal. Like, they couldn't even do that.
Yeah, and this does sort of put into perspective for me, too, something McCourty said after the game.
McCourty, which is, was very pointed in his comments.
He said we were in a call that was a bad call for the play that they had.
Well, I think that was the CeeDee Lamb touchdown, which was also a bad.
We will play that coming up. He was talking about the game winner.
Oh, okay, right.
But it's the same thing. He called out the coaching there. So, Junior, as you call him, Little Stevie, or Mayo, or however that's going, there's something wrong there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, there is something wrong there. And normally, what you see at this point is Bill takes over something. If something's deficient in the team, Bill takes it over. I think the offensive line is settling down. I think the offense has settled down.
You think the offensive line has settled down?
Yeah, I think it's, yes, there were bits and pieces.
I wonder if Mac Jones might disagree with
now that. Now that Owenu got out there and played, like, they got to move him to right tackle, leave Karras at left guard, Mason comes back, you know, and then Isaiah, what you figure out left tackle, okay? Do that. Owenu's much better. He played great for him at right tackle in this game compared to guard. So it's settling down. It's now the defense. We all knew coming into the season, how many times did we say it? That's why it drives me bananas, all this discussion about the play calling on the offense, and they're not doing this, and Mac Jones this, and Mac Jones that. We all knew. It's six games into the season. We knew the offense was going to be a work in progress with a rookie quarterback, two new receivers, two tight ends. What did we say? They're going to have to win on defense early on until everything comes together. And what has happened? The offense has been okay to good. The defense is losing you games. They're losing you games.
Is it because of personnel or coaching, though?
It's both. It's both at this point. I mean, I don't know. Bill coaching, that call, cover one robber, is what year do they think this is? This isn't 1996. Okay, where these guys can't throw and they make stupid. These guys have been playing 7-on-7 Pop Warner passing camp since they were 5 years old. Dak Prescott. That's not Dan Orlovsky back there. It's Dak freaking Prescott.
GTFB. It's like, that's Bill's wheelhouse. Just get back and make him throw underneath. Make a tackle. Oh, it was a layup situation. And that coverage was just, what were they doing with that coverage? And so it's personnel coaching. It's both, but they had the personnel to cover third and 25.
I would hope so.
Okay. Every NFL team does. If you give up a play like that on 30-25, you're in the wrong call, or someone effed up royally. And the thing with that play is no one really effed up royally.
Well,
I mean, Mills gave CeeDee Lamb a little too much room, but I don't know. The middle shouldn't have been open. There should have been two or three guys back there at the stakes, not letting you throw a 25-yard in cut. So, like, I wasn't in real time. I knew it was bad, but just watching that video clip sent me over the edge.
What was Bill's quote about it?
Okay, you'll hear it coming up. Your calls with the big boy right after this.
Green Star Herbals, Massachusetts' premier cannabis provider, is now open at 19 School Street in Dracut and 24 Main Street in Maynard. Green Star Herbals has the largest selection of craft cannabis in Massachusetts and is a true destination dispensary. Green Star Cannabis is the gold standard for green. Visit Green Star Herbals in Dracut, Maynard, and coming soon to Chelsea. Or come to greenstarherb.com today to learn more.
Please consume responsibly. This product may cause impairment and may be habit-forming. For use only by adults 21 years of age or older. Keep out of reach of children. This product has not been analyzed or approved by the Food and Drug Administration. There is limited information on the side effects of using this product, and there may be associated health risks. Marijuana used during pregnancy and breastfeeding may pose potential harms. It's against the law to drive or operate machinery when under the influence of this product. Keep this product away from children. There may be health risks associated with the consumption of this product. Marijuana can impair concentration, coordination, and judgment. The impairment effects of edible marijuana may be delayed by 2 hours or more. In case of accidental ingestion, contact the Poison Control Hotline at 1-800-222-1222 or 911. This product may be illegal outside of Massachusetts. Massachusetts State License Number MR28220.
Do you believe in moral victories? A good loss? We'll get them next time.
No silver linings here on Felger and Mazz.
Then you are in the wrong place.
You have to accept that, so we...
Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Devin McCourty and Dante Hightower try to get this defense organized. McCourty and Phillips, the two high safeties for the Patriots. Empty set. Shotgun snap is back. A four-man rush. Plenty of time. Prescott steps up. Fires down the middle. The pass is caught by Lamb. He made the catch leaping between the hash marks at the 31-yard line. The Cowboys take the timeout with 24 seconds to go.
Big boy throw. What a laser by Prescott.
What happened there on that third and 25 late in the fourth when they got the 24 yards to set up the tie-in field goal?
Yeah, it's a good throw and a good catch. Coverage is pretty good, but, you know, Prescott made a good throw and Lamb made a good catch.
Did you have a seventh defensive back available if you wanted to do that in that situation? Were you sort of hamstrung due to injury situation or anything like that? Or would that not be a, you know, were you happy, I guess, with, I think it was Dime what I saw?
Yeah, that's a weird plan, though.
Good throw and good catch. So this is a problem. That's Belichick protecting his son. And, you know, it's also his defensive coordinator, but this is what you invite when you have your kid as your defensive coordinator. And Bill's certainly not the only one. This is a rampant. It's an infection across the league. In the ownership ranks, the coaching ranks, the league is infected with nepotism. Okay, so you're hardly the only ones. But be that as it may, someone asked here in the building, does Bill have what it takes to accurately judge his son's performance or critique or improve his son's performance, or is he going to protect him? Because to giving up a third and 25, a 24-yard gain on third and 25, and then just to say it was a good throw, it was a good catch. The coverage was pretty good, but it was a good throw and a good catch. That is protecting your kid.
Absolutely.
So your thoughts, Greg?
Well, look, as far as Bill and Steve and him protecting him, do I think Bill would have given a different answer if it was, say, Matt Patricia's defensive coordinator? I don't know.
No.
I don't think he would have.
You're right.
But, and you're asking me, do I think that Bill, if needed, will step in and take over for his son? Yes, I do. I don't think Bill's not an idiot, right? He knows. He watches. He'll go back and watch the film. He was probably already thinking where his defense is just, you know, this is his pride and joy.
This is also a problem, though. We all have blind spots for our kid.
Yeah, but Bill, at the bottom line, he's all about the football. And look, at some point, and I think someone in a league source asked me this the other day, and it's a good question, and I'd like to find it and get it exactly sure right.
Well, since someone has it on tape, no one's going to know if you misquote him, so just give me the approximation. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Keep going. I want to find it.
It doesn't have to be word for word.
Well, look, I don't think that I don't want the element of his son being the defensive coordinator at all. Like, I look at that and say, and I know people have said he's a good coach and what have you. I just don't want the element of Bill having people on the outside having to look at it and go, does your son know what he's doing?
The defense is a mess. They had to call another timeout in the second half on defense in the run of play. For some reason, it wasn't explained, but Bill was yelling at someone on the sideline. The TV copy didn't show who he was kind of scolding at the time, but he had to call another timeout, I assume because of personnel, that you didn't have at the end of the game when you could have used it. And this is just about every single week. They don't have the right personnel running on, running off. They have to call timeouts. They're taking too many men, not enough men. In the case against the Saints, it's been happening all year. What was your
question?
Okay,
so I found it. Somebody, a league source, asked me earlier this week. And actually, no, it was during the game. How much do you think it eats at Bill that his life's work is diminished by the week? I mean, you talk about, like, is he just going to cover for his son? No, he's not an idiot. He knows what's happening right now. And this is why I wrote the column that I did after the game, where I just said, enough. This isn't, if you're a Patriots fan who's trying to excuse this, you know, oh, if it was just one play here, one play there, then, you know, they'd be 5-1 or whatever. Don't you realize this has been going on for almost two straight seasons now? It's been 28 games. They're 11-17. They've 11 of those losses are by one score. Three times in a row, the last three games, the offense has taken the lead multiple times in the fourth quarter, and you've given it up. Bill keeps playing like it's 2004. I'm just going to keep it to one score game and then we're going to win the game, or I'm going to coach us to win the game. It's not working. You don't have the players. You don't have the talent. You can't coach your way out of this. The other teams are better now.
Okay, and then there's the whole approach on fourth down and not being a little more aggressive with the ball in your hands.
Ugh.
Okay, your thoughts on that? Should they have been more aggressive?
The fourth and three play was atrocious. Bill had to go into overtime thinking, my defense has been on the field for 75 plays.
Yep.
They've been on the field for 35 minutes. We have not stopped them outside of the three and out to start the third quarter. Dallas has shot themselves in the foot about 8 billion times, and they still go down the field against us. My defense is exhausted. We have to win the game on the first drive. We have to win the game on offense. If it's anywhere close to fourth and manageable, we're going for it. If I have to, I will take a field goal, but I really don't want to. It has to be fourth and long. Other than that, I'm going for it. It was the same decision against Tampa Bay. Brady had two timeouts and time left. Even if you make that kick, he's coming down and winning the game. Both decisions were the same. Both of them, Bill failed at. You got to go for both of those. And he cost his team a game, or at least a real shot at winning those games.
I mean, to me, in this one, not going for it there blew my mind. With the way Dallas was moving the ball on them all day long, you are literally banking on Dallas just effing up again because you weren't going to stop them.
But to keep hearing what you're saying, Greg, it feels like it doesn't feel like it's hyperbolic to say like the game has almost passed him by, or he's just living in the past the way that he coaches this team.
If I can jump in, I'm worried about that, but it's too early to say it.
Yeah, I think it's too early to say it. I think that Bill's maybe a little bit slow to adjusting to facing reality to what he has right now. I think sometimes he falls into, well, I have Kyle Van Noy, and I have Dante Hightower, and I have Devin McCourty, and I now have Jamie Collins back, so this is 2016. No, it's not. It's 2021, and these guys are not the same players, any of them. And you certainly don't have Stephon Gilmore in his prime or anything close to that. So what are you hanging your hat on? Again, outside of Matthew Judon, who's making a play? On offense, who's making a play? I mean, I think we're seeing a little bit more, Bourne a little bit here and there. Damian Harris ran great this weekend. You know, when he's not fumbling, he's been a really good player. But he's got to be realistic about what he has, and he can't play close to the best vest and expect teams to vomit on themselves, and that's how they're going to win. They're not good enough to accept those things. Dallas did it about 25 different times on Sunday, and they still beat your ass. Like they had, how many points did they score?
35.
And they had the interception in the end zone.
Fumble in the end zone.
The fumble in the end zone. And people forget, Wilson dropped that ball in the end zone.
And a missed field goal.
and a missed field goal. They had the Lee Evans play. Wilson has to catch that. That wasn't a great play by Jonathan Jones. Didn't catch it right away.
Yeah, it was a good play by Jones.
It was a good play by Jones, but Wilson didn't catch it immediately.
I mean, Matt said this yesterday and got scolded for some reason.
Should have had 50.
Dallas easily could have put up a 50
easily.
Burger.
Easily.
Should have had 50. Okay. Should have had 50. So, should have had 50.
A lot of that is personnel. Third and 25 is not personnel.
No.
And especially since no one blatantly blew a coverage. And no one blatantly blew it. Mills gave him a lot of room, but it's not like it was a blown assignment, is what I mean. Third and 25 was the play call. Third and 25 was the coaching. I promise we will get to your calls with Greg. Also do three up, three down after Big Jim Murray's update.
Come to Nova Farms. Nova Farms is the official co-sponsor of the Felger and Maz podcast. We have the biggest selection of recreational cannabis in New England. Must be 21 plus to buy. Our dispensaries are located in Framingham and Attleboro, Massachusetts. Our retail staff are on special teams. We give big hits like a blitz. You get the extra point. Sports! For our latest content and product announcements, follow us on Instagram at Nova Farms.
Please consume responsibly. This product may cause impairment and may be habit-forming. There may be health risks associated with consumption of this product. This product has not been analyzed or approved by the Food and Drug Administration. There is limited information on the side effects of using this product, and there may be associated health risks. Marijuana use during pregnancy and breastfeeding may pose potential harms. It is against the law to drive or operate machinery when under the influence of this product. Keep this product away from children. There may be health risks associated with the consumption of this product. Marijuana can impair concentration, coordination, and judgment. The impairment effects of edible marijuana may be delayed by 2 hours or more. In case of accidental ingestion, contact Poison Control Hotline at 1-800-222-1222 or 911. This product may be illegal outside of Massachusetts. Massachusetts state license numbers MR281379 and MR282516.
Guys are always trouble.
I want nothing to do with this guy.
The 8-5, the Sports Hub. And now, it's time for three.
Jones with time. Throwing the deep ball down the left side.
What a throw.
Three down.
This is one of the worst throws he's had.
With Greg Bedard from BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
Bucks win the Super Bowl. And there the Cannons go. Cannon. Fire them.
Three down.
He sucks.
He blows.
On Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, three up, three down from the loss on Sunday to the Dallas Cowboys. Greg and Maz chimes in as well. Greg, give me your three up. Give them to me all at once and we'll pick them apart.
Jacoby Myers, Juwan Bentley, and Damian Harris.
Discuss.
I thought Myers made some really tough catches, including he got belted a few times in that game. I do not think that he was open on the final pass, even though Mike Lombardi said that on his podcast. It was a cover zero blitz. He had, as opposed to...
You mean the floater to Aguilar on the right sideline? I thought Myers did come open late, but he broke open.
Maybe later on, maybe in a couple months, Mac holds that ball a little bit longer, but... That's the same coverage the Patriots ran on the final play, except the Cowboys actually had a pass rush as opposed to the Patriots, who just let Dak run around and throw it wide open. So I thought Myers was awesome. I thought Bentley probably had his best game as a Patriot, definitely since his rookie year. He had energy. He was thumping people inside. He did a really nice job. And I thought Damian Harris he runs physical. He runs angry. On the coach's film, he looks really fast. So, to me, those are the three best guys.
I had the same three guys in the reverse order. I had Harris first, Bentley second, Myers third.
Wow.
It's just stunning. I know. And my note in my head was maybe the best game that Juwan Bentley has played as a member of the Patriots.
Wow.
That play at the goal line was special.
That was a great play.
That was a special play. And Harris, I thought, ran his ass off. He ran hard in this game, and Myers was their best, pass catcher.
Okay. Interesting. Same, but reverse order. All right, three down there, Greg. Let's see if we can go three for three as well.
James Ferentz.
Number one, Ferentz.
He's just not good. He's just not. And, he's trying to do the job for the team, and I understand. And he's put in a difficult position. I didn't think Mills was great, even though I absolved him of those big plays largely.
Jalen Mills, too. Go.
And the final one was, Kadjustin Heron, the two tackles.
Thank you.
I mean, just, I actually think Kadjust actually played on the balance really well. And Randy Gregory is just that good. He just flat out beat him. It wasn't a huge technique issue, but you can't let your quarterback get decapitated. You just can't. That's a rule, Mass.
You said Kajus is the guy who has left tackle feet, right? Yeah. Feet left tab, just making sure that we're talking about the same guy.
Yeah, not on that play, but
on Sunday.
He has him. Doesn't mean he's ready to be one right now.
So look, the hard part of this, the three down now, is that three's not enough. Okay?
No.
So I got to do positional groupings, generally speaking. Jalen Mills was my number one. I thought he sucked in this game. My offensive line was second, specifically Ferentz, Kajust, Isaiah Wynn, Haran. Like, I take your pick. I lump them all together.
Yep.
My third one is special teams overall. You had a punt blocked. Jake Bailey, also, that kick at the end of the game. You decided to punt. It was a fair catch at the 20. It was a 30-yard punt. You need to knock that sucker down inside the 10. That was a horrible punt. And again, and then they had one blocked. I'm not going to put that one on Bailey. But I would say overall, their special teams played blows.
34-yard punt.
It was horrible.
And when they needed it the most. He's not been good this year. All right, there are your three up, three down. As promised, your phones with the big boy. We'll keep the Red Sox on the board as well. Ryan in Tewksbury. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hi, I'm sorry if I go on a rant, but I don't know how anybody comes away from this game not thinking the coaching staff is hurting this team. The coaching staff is the worst it's been probably in the 20 years that Belichick's been head coach, and that happens when you hire friends and family over actual coaches who will challenge your thinking. The fourth down play calls, oh my God, just go for it once. This is the guy that went for it on fourth and two. Back to the coaching, defensive personnel timeouts, burning those timeouts hurts so bad.
Oh, God, so they called one
up. Left in the half. Oh, my God, it's so frustrating. And then I think there was another play where Myers, it looked like he had forward progress, but.
Ryan, okay, you're giving me too much. It's not just the not going for it. The indecision on the first one led to the block punt. So they're at their own 35, so it's a much harder call, and it's in the first half. But they waited so long to make the call that the punt team ran out late, Greg. I'm sure you went back and looked at this.
Yep.
They didn't call out their protections. They didn't get their blocking straight. You always see it when the punt team goes out. That up man is sitting there pointing things out, and everyone's pointing to this guy, that guy, or you got him, I got him, and you straighten it all out. They just ran out there and had to snap it because they were so tight up against the play clock because Bill made the call so late. I'm seeing that over and over again. Sideline operation hasn't been good.
It's been brutal. I mean, Mac Jones was looking at the sidelines sometimes, angry this week. I don't think Cam Acord, the special teams coordinator, was thumping his chest this week.
Who?
Did you see him after the quote-unquote blocked punt against the Texans?
No.
You could see him. He, like, thumped his chest. Oh, like, and then this happened this week. I mean, it's just it's embarrassing. And the caller brings up the coaching staff. And I wrote about this a little bit a couple weeks ago where, you know, this team reminds me a little bit of the 2009 team where, you know, Belichick famously said in A Football Life, like, I just can't get this team to do what I want them to do. And I went back and I looked at that coaching staff. Humor me for a second. So this is front office, okay? Floyd Reese, who just recently passed away.
Yeah.
John Robinson, yeah, Titans GM.
GM at
Jason
Tennessee.
Light.
GM in Tampa.
Tampa Bay.
Bob Quinn,
GM in Detroit.
Ernie Adams.
Okay.
Okay, now you have Belichick, and Skarnecki was the assistant head coach. Bill O'Brien. Hmm. Ivan Fears, of course. Chad O'Shea, excellent receivers coach. Shane Waldron was the tight ends coach. He is now the Seahawks offensive coordinator.
Wasn't Dean Pease the DC?
Dean Pease was the defensive coordinator.
And they fired him after the season.
Pepper Johnson, defensive line. Matt Patricia, linebackers. Defensive back, Josh Warrior. Special team, Scott O'Brien. Scotty O'Brien is legendary. He's one of the best of all time. Their coaching assistants, the underlings. Brian Ferentz, who's now at Iowa under his dad. Excellent coach. Brian Flores. And Pat Graham, who is the Giants defense coordinator and excellent coach in his own right. That was the staff in 2009. When they couldn't get those guys to do what they wanted to. Now we have this staff trying to do this.
It's no doubt a big issue. Derek in Providence, go quickly, please.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for having me on. Listen, I know it's a big problem with coaching right now. I think it's both offense and defense. McDaniels, I'll go through this quick. Without Brady, in 2009 with the Broncos, he ranked 20th in scoring defense. 2010, he ranked 19th.
Derek. Your phone's not good enough, but you're saying we should ask the same questions about Josh without Brady that we ask about Belichick without Brady.
Exactly.
Yes. Is that unfair, Greg?
Well, I mean, not Not totally, but I think, look, he has a rookie quarterback, like I said, with two new receivers and two tight ends. I mean, if we get to the end of the season and it's a huge issue, fine. But I don't know how you can – I mean, you got some people questioning after, like, week two, three, four, you know, forget six. Like, let's just see how it looks at the end of the season and whether they continue to make progress. I seem to think they're making progress. If they didn't, I would rip them, just like I'm ripping Belichick.
I didn't think his play – I didn't have as much of a problem with the play call this week as I had in past weeks. I did think he ran too much on second down, setting up some, you know, got-to-have-it third downs that Mac Jones started to convert in that fourth quarter touchdown drive. That was my only quibble. The bigger quibble to me was going for it on fourth or not. Mm-hmm. And that's not him.
No.
You know, that's not his call, which he was happy to point out today on the conference call. We'll play this sound coming up. That's on Belichick. So I put that stuff, the offensive stuff, more on Belichick this week than I do McDaniels.
I think it's on the table for all of them. Brady's gone. They all have that hanging over their heads. Josh, too. And again, he went to St. Louis, and they had the worst offense in the league, right?
Yeah, but those were one-offs. I mean, you know, Denver, what was he there, in a year and a half? St. Louis was, it was Spagnuolo. They were god-awful. I mean.
So, Greg, listen, I'm not telling you there weren't mitigating circumstances. I'm just telling you that it's on the resume.
I understand. The difference for me, hang on one
second. No one here has done squat without Brady. I'd include ownership, front office, the whole thing.
Absolutely.
None of you. So, like, you're all on the list.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you. Fire the cannons. Go ahead, Greg.
What I was going to say was just the, like, look, I understand. The reason I'm holding Belichick and the defensive coaches to a higher standard is because they have the bulk of their core. Like, these guys have been in the system. They've even brought retreads back. They spent gobs of money. They have veterans. They're not playing any rookies. I mean, God forbid, can we get Kyle Van Noy off the field and put Josh Uche out there? Uche can't do what Kyle Van Noy's doing at this point.
If
Van Noy's beat up, if there's something wrong with him, sit him down and let him get healthy for the end of the season. Get some young legs out there. Chase Winovich, he got hurt in this game, and I think everybody was like, wait, he's playing? What? He got hurt? How did he get hurt? I didn't know he was playing. Must have been on special teams.
Because he's invisible, you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, they don't play any young guys. They got their guys. They paid them. They're old. They're bloated. They're slow. And on offense, we understood it's other than the offensive line, which has sucked. All right. Absolutely. All new people. We knew it was going to take time. I said
the defense was supposed to be better.
The defense was going to carry them. They had to keep them above water until everything started to click.
Back to your calls in our long commercial free segment next.
Austin's home for sports. 98.5.
When life calls for cannabis, get it delivered from LanternNow.com. Lantern brings Boston's best cannabis to you, so you can spend game day in front of the TV and not going to the dispensary. I use Lantern because I can shop from Boston's best dispensaries and get my products delivered the same day I order. Even better, Lantern Now delivers to all of Boston and beyond, so you can skip the trip, the traffic, and the line to spend your time your way. Get started at LanternNow.com/gym and follow at GetLanternNow on socials to stay up to date on all things cannabis.
Please consume responsibly. This product may cause impairment and may be habit forming. There may be health risks associated with consumption of this product. This product has not been analyzed or approved by the Food and Drug Administration. There is limited information on the side effects of using this product, and there may be associated health risks. Marijuana use during pregnancy and breastfeeding may pose potential harms. It is against the law to drive or operate machinery when under the influence of this product. Keep this product away from children. There may be health risks associated with consumption of this product. Marijuana can impair concentration, coordination, and judgment. The impairment effects of edible marijuana may be delayed by 2 hours or more. In case of accidental ingestion, contact Poison Control Hotline at 1-800-222-1222 or 911. This product may be illegal outside of Massachusetts.
Felger and Mass.
They've been incredibly consistent.
The only thing that's consistent is their inconsistency.
I don't think that's inconsistent.
Yeah, which is exactly what Murray said.
Am I misinterpreting that?
No.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
3-1 pitch. The play is made by Leonard. Hard hit, but right at the Red Sox second baseman. 5.5 in the book. 6 strong by Eduardo Rodriguez. Here is that exchange. After getting Carlos Correa, who was pointing at his watch in game one when he hit that go-ahead home run in the seventh, saying, it's my time. Look at Alex Cora with Eduardo Rodriguez. Yeah, he's going to tell him right here, great job, but no need to do anything like that. A lot of this series, you don't need to poke anybody, even if, you know, the other side's doing it. I thought it was great for Alex to
tell him what a great job he did, but we don't want to do that.
Don't do that.
And why?
Because we don't act that way. You know, we just show up, we play, and we move on. And he knows. I let him know. It, you know, we don't have to do that. You know, if we're looking for motivation outside of what we're trying to accomplish, we're in the wrong business. You know, the only motivation we have is to win four games against them and move on to the next round. Besides that, he was outstanding. It's not that I'm mad at him. You know, it's like one of the twins. You know, like don't do that. You know, we don't have to do that. You know, so he knows, he understands, but you know, it's we're not that way. You know, we talk about humble approach and humble players, and that's who we are. You know, we like to grind, we like to play, but we don't do that.
And maybe the defining story from last night's Red Sox win over the Astros, with Eddie Rodriguez throwing it back in the face of Carlos Carrera, with the pointing to the watch on the wrist, him being admonished by Alex Cora. Alex Cora then after the game, when he first said it, you know, it's like the Twins. I said to myself, the Minnesota Twins do this kind of crap? And I didn't realize he had little kids.
Yeah, he's got twin toddlers.
Twin toddlers. So it's about it's like scolding your twins is really what he's talking about. The humble approach thing, I mean, shove it.
Humble approach.
I mean, Cora is hardly a humble guy, and he's a very confident, cocky guy, and his players are very confident, cocky players. And so the humble thing is like a piece of garbage. It's just trash. But the rest of it is all good, is all goodness. The fact that Eddie Rodriguez is motivated by it, clearly motivated by it. The fact that Alex Cora still is smart enough to keep his thumb on his players, say, keep that in your pants until the thing is over. Don't give them any extra reason. Don't motivate them. And so all of it was good, but that's just a little reset on that. What's your top Red Sox take there, big boy?
My top Red Sox take is it's over. Series is over. They're going to the World Series. And I don't want to hear anything about I jinxed them or whatever. If they blow this series with the Astros and their pitching is in shambles, this series should not go back to Houston. It's an upset if it does.
You got to tell the man to your left because, you know, Mike and I are with you in this. This thing's over.
Not over.
It's over.
Not over.
Tony, how many more years do you need to watch the Astros against the Red Sox to know that Bregman, Altuve, Gurriel, Correa, they all pee down their pants when they see the Red Sox? Bregman, is he even playing in this series? Like, what happened to that guy? I mean, obviously they have a great plan against him, and Cora knows these guys inside and out and has a great plan with Bush to set these guys up. But these guys have been trash. Altuve looks like he's going to start crying out in the field because he has no clue at the plate. He has even less clue in the infield, and Cora's all in his mind. I'm convinced it's because Cora's in the other dugout, and he knows he's watching. Like, that play last night, John Smoltz, don't listen to pitchers when it comes to fielding.
Thank you.
Pitchers don't know jack. That's why us coaches, we always say, don't let the pitcher touch the ball. Ever. Like, if you can jump in front of it, a grenade, knock him over and get the ball, do it. Because pitchers don't know anything, just like Smoltz just said. The play there, how they're taught, is on the first bounce, you got to come in two steps, and at the least you get it on the short hop, side toss to second base. Altuve froze because he's choking in this series. He has choked like a dog. Bregman's choking like a dog. This series is over. Red Sox will end it next two nights. They got nothing.
Can I ask you something? When we ask you a football question, you're fumbling around with papers.
About? I just spent 30 minutes ranting on Bill Belichick.
And signed into the
don't
microphone,
do this. No,
and you're
unfair.
Not ready by asking.
Erroneous on both counts.
Your baseball takes are better. It's unbelievable.
baseball's my sport. It's the one I actually know better. Baseball is my sport.
You know why? Because he has never covered it. He's got a little fan in him. That's good.
To your calls, as promised. Aaron and Worcester, give me a Red Sox thought.
Hi, guys. First-time caller here. Two things. Why is everyone so soft? I mean, E-Rod mocking Correa by pointing to his watch? I freaking loved it. If you can dish it, you should be able to take it. Also, can we just go back to game two real quick? I mean, have you ever seen a pitcher take 20 flipping minutes to warm up? It's nauseating. How does the MLB allow something like this?
That was unbelievable. The Astros should have to forfeit the series just for that.
I mean, I would do it when I'm commissioner of sports. That's the kind of thing I'd levy. But more realistically, you had it yesterday. If you come out for injury, you can't pitch the next game or the rest of the series, or there's got to be something that would prevent a team from just doing that again.
Absolutely. Look, again, I was stunned by it, especially because I thought the whole thing was contrived. I think Dusty Baker set it up to stall the game. I think he did it on purpose because he knows his pitching staff's a mess and they were going to get their asses kicked.
Oh, hell
kicked.
Yeah. I would have done the same thing if I was Dusty. I would have been like, this is not going our way. I need to do something to change the juju. And so I'm grinding this thing to a halt.
I love that it didn't change any juju.
No, it didn't.
I love the fact that the guy that came in got his teeth kicked in too. And so I loved it. So that should not be rewarded in any way, shape, or form. But the watch thing, caller, is... this is what it is now, man. It's just everybody playing out some form of tweet beef. So Correa doing it in the first place and Eddie Rodriguez responding is just the way business is done now, and I'm fine with it. I'm also fine with Alex Cora saying, keep it in your pants. Don't give them reason now to sharpen their focus and to wake them up. So it was all just a big ball of goodness as far as I'm concerned.
Belichick would have done the same thing. I mean, and Cora's very similar in that you know Cora behind the scenes is MFing those guys all over the place and bringing it up and blah, 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 and we're going to kick their ass and this ain't going back. You know he's saying all that stuff to the guys in the locker room, just like how the Patriots take the stuff, whatever's in the paper or whatever innocuous comment, and then they don't say anything about it during the week, and then as soon as the game is over, if they're not going to see them, you know, the rest of the year, you get Kyle Van Noy, you know, sniping at him back. You know, that's just, it's the same way the Patriots operate.
I loved it. I loved the Cora thing yelling at
E-Rod. Was good. I like that
it.
he publicly, like, all of a sudden was like, no, no. And he's like, that was good. You want to shut it down.
That was tremendous.
Stu, how's Bedard on baseball?
Better, because he feels unfiltered.
It's unbelievable. There's no hemming and hawing. It's like straight out.
Yeah, it's good.
It's just right down the middle.
Oh, yeah, no, it's good.
Why do you guys got to exaggerate?
No league sources to protect you.
Here's an update from Big Jim Murray.
Any thoughts on gas? Oh, never mind.
90 seconds, no commercials. Promise, right back
Who?
To your calls.
Who?
Boom Boom Games, your home for 80s and 90s retro video games, wrestling figures and collectibles, vintage toys, cards, comics, and all your nostalgia needs. They've got something for every console from Atari 2600 to the PS5 and Xbox Series X. Looking for a specific video game? They will try to source it for you. Do you have some old consoles or collectibles? Bring them in, because Boom Boom Games buys and trades. Boom Boom Games is also your store for Star Wars toys, Pokemon, and the wrestling selection will have you feeling that sweet chin music. Boom Boom Games in Billerica. Check them out.